Hi, this is Reed Gussiora, Trenton's mayor, and you're listening to the Trenton Waves podcast.
The good people of Trenton deserve way better representation. Four members of the council are breaking the law. That's our daily situation. We don't need these people at the top who are only out for themselves. If the people of Trenton won't act now, our town will be a living hell. Let's focus only on the positives here at Trenton Waves. Can we ask you all to describe your dream city today? My dream Trenton would be without Kathy McBride and Robin Vaughn, without Santiago Rodriguez and Sonia Wilkins, that's for sure. We won't let them ever defeat us. Your Trenton Waves with Frank and Christina.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey, with your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Whoop, 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 whoop. Trenton Waves with Frank and Christina. Oh, yeah. I can listen to that song.
I know.
10 times in 10 minutes.
I want to do some kind of a dance to it or something. A music video.
My dream Trenton wouldn't have Kathy McBride.
Robin Vaughn. Well, we already got rid of Santiago.
Santiago's gone. Three left.
Yes.
I hope you are tuning in, Podcastia, to the candidate election episodes.
Yes.
On that front. Speaking about fronts.
Yes.
Okay. So just, bear with me. Relax. The guest is a little nervous.
Yeah.
Our guest today is actually on East Front Street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We've heard a lot of stuff
in the
about
beginning.
This person's business. It's called the Lobby Club.
Yeah.
It is a outstanding
love it
looking building.
Yes, inside and out.
Inside and out.
Yes.
When we first walked by it.
Yes.
I know you saw they were doing work on it.
Well, we walked by and Eric happened to be coming out of the building, and being curious, I said, "Oh, what's going on in there?" And he was very gracious to kind of show us around and talk about it and got us very excited. And we were looking forward to when it opened up.
And then it did. We quickly became members.
Yes.
And we just love it.
We love it there, yes.
Yeah, a couple of things I don't love, but we'll get into that later.
Okay,
well, he's already laughing.
Okay.
Fine. I didn't even introduce him yet. He's already into the show.
All right. Well, I know what when like I post pictures or whatever, mm-hmm. I always get comments like, "Oh, well, you know, like I heard it was this, I heard it was that, I heard it was this." Yeah. And I said, "Look, why don't, you know, one day come as my guest and right. you can we'll have a cocktail or whatever."
Yeah.
So
that's all good.
That's, yeah.
We've heard the Lobby Club. We've heard of many things. Uh-huh. We've heard strip club. We've heard gentlemen's club. We've heard after hours club. We heard it's $25,000 a month.
I know.
We've heard that.
That
we've
I heard yes.
Membership. We heard no membership. We heard, "Oh, that's not right." We heard, "Oh, that's lovely." We heard a lot of stuff about the Lobby Club. But here today to finally put an end to all of this nonsense and get some freaking facts out there is the owner of the Lobby Club, Mr. Eric Poe, is here with us today. Podcastia. Yeah! Yes, I know. See how excited they are to hear you?
Awesome. Amazing.
Eric Poe. No relation to Edgar Allan, apparently.
No.
Right. Okay.
No.
Eric, I say we just cut to the chase. I mean, you want to go with your question or you want to get the Lobby Club out of the way?
No. I'll ask my first question.
All right. You ask your question and I'm just going to
I'm actually going to word it differently now.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This is the first I'm hearing of this.
Okay.
All right, go ahead, go.
So my question is, why Trenton?
Well, because my family business is in Princeton. So the last like 25 years, we would have to come to court here in Trenton. Unfortunately, I've also had to handle, as a lawyer myself on the side, I handled my nanny's custody hearing in Trenton. So I had to go to Mercer Court Okay. Outside of being federal court, because there's only three federal courts in New Jersey, and one of them's in Trenton. What I found shocking was that there was no real business and support for somebody to be able to be in Trenton and even stay there past 5 o'clock. So I found it amazing that so many thousands of people come to Trenton every day. It's our state capital, and it was a ghost town after 5 o'clock. Mm-hmm. Right. And I kept asking around, like, why is there not any infrastructure in this city? It's our state capital. It's embarrassing. Really, I think a lot of it changed, and I saw it change when Lorenzo's Cafe shut down. Mm-hmm. And I know previous to that, we would have business meetings. So after business meetings, we would go to Lorenzo's
by
and
the
have
a steak
by train station, yeah, right, mm-hmm, right, and eat a steak and sit there and watch people for 2 hours talk about business. And then when that went away, it became Sedimo. And then when that shut down, we were like, I don't even know how you can even stay in Trenton if there's nobody going to have a restaurant that can serve you a nice burger. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm, that's why, because people have to be here. One of the best stories that I ever got told and why I really thought about this for years is that my other organization, we manage Cure Auto Insurance, and the owner of an advertising agency told me, Eric, we're partners with who we advertise for and do marketing for. And I said, okay, this is one of the last agencies. He's the guy who created the Kool-Aid mascot, you know, that walking
really?
Pitcher.
The O'Yair guy who busts through a wall?
Yeah.
Oh, really? Wow.
So that guy is a guy named Alan Kay. He was one of the last independent advertising agencies in New York. And he sat down with me one day because he was taking medium-sized clients like Cure. And he said, listen, I got to tell you a story. This is how big we are in terms of partnering with the people that are our clients. Richard Branson was one of my clients. And
oh,
I said,
wow.
Really? That's amazing. He said, and one day he came up to me in the, I think it was late 80s or early 90s, and said, I'm going to go launch an airline and I'm going to call it Virgin Airlines. And he said, well, you're crazy. You know, yeah, I know everyone says you can't have an airline ever survive. So I'm going to do exactly the opposite of what everyone tells me, right? Like this is when like TWA is folding and all this stuff. And he said, okay. And he started the whole airline, and his first route was from New York to London. A few months into it, he calls up Alan and says, look, they're right. We're going to have to fold. And Alan said, well, what are you talking about? He said, well, the Pan Am flight went down. Everyone's scared of terrorists. And he said, at the end of the day, our planes are empty. We're going to have to go out of business. At this rate, we're folding in the next 6 to 9 months. And Alan said, well, just let us ask some questions and maybe we can figure out some, help you out and how this business model can work. And Branson said, sure, fine, whatever you want to do. And he said, okay, came back with him after a round table and these ideas. And he said, listen, Richard, I got a question for you. How quickly and how easily can you rip out all of your coach seats or 75% of your coach seats on your plane? And he said, no, I talked to my engineers, not that hard. Why? He said, well, I got a business idea for you. You got to first tell me, you told me last week that your planes weren't completely empty, that there were about 15 or 20 people. And I asked you to describe who those 15 or 20 people were. And they were all business people that were flying from London to New York every week. And he said, but you said 90% of the plane was empty in coach. And he said, because of the terrorist bombings and all the fear of flying.
Right.
So it dawned on us that you need to have a recession-proof clientele. And they need to be business people because regardless of how scared they are to fly, their job requires it.
Right.
So what I want you to do is I want you to rip out 2/3 of all of your seats and increase your first class and business class. And I want you to cater to all those people. Here's one caveat. Will you be willing to accept all the British airline frequent flyers? Because that is going to be your main competition. And Branson said, sure. Well, what do you mean? He says, will you actually adopt, if they can prove how many miles they have on British Airways, will you allow them to adopt all of those miles into your frequent flyer program immediately? And he said, I would. And so their first commercial that won an award was an English-speaking guy saying, the average traveler from London to New York sleeps at a hotel 4 nights a week and smokes 2 packs of cigarettes. And then like these haughty people are like smoking cigarettes on a plane. And then it pans out and it says, how do we know so much about British Airway frequent flyers? Because they're our number one customers. And it pans out and it says, we're accepting all the British Airway customers. And what he said to me from that story was how he partnered and changed the success story of that airline. And ever since that story was ever told to me, I thought to myself, I need to look for an opportunity where business people don't even want to be where they are necessarily, mm-hmm, but they have to be. Okay. And I thought about this whole time, like Trenton is the perfect example. If you ask half the people that work in Trenton for business, for court, right, you know, and there are guys that are paying these lawyers $1,500 an hour, going to a courtroom and during jury break for an hour, they have no place to eat. They go to the Department of Environmental Protection in order to get a stale cheeseburger.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And so that's what really, I've been looking for an opportunity for a number of years ever since that story. I feel like Trenton is one of the few cities that I find unbelievable that the state still doesn't reinvest enough money into this city. It is our state capital, one of the highest per capita incomes in the country, most densely populated state in the country, yet we can't have Trenton have a nice infrastructure, a nice downtown, nice restaurants. Like, I don't understand it.
That's a brilliant story because it's like, yes, because most people would never take that kind of a risk and never take that direction. But we met somebody in Brunswick, Georgia, where we just bought a property. And it's a similar situation. They got their act a little more together than Trenton does. We met a business owner down there and he said, I opened the shop appealing to just high end. He goes, I know it was crazy because this area is not that place. So he opened a Sporting Outfitters. It's called On the Fly. Little nod to them.
On the Fly. Hello.
They only sell high end camping equipment, fishing equipment. And he goes, the people who actually live in the outskirts of this town can't afford this, but this is what I'm doing. This is where I stake my claim. And he goes, that's what kept me alive during COVID. Because when I sold a jacket, I sold a jacket for over $500. If I was selling jackets for $50, I'd be dead now because nobody would be here. If I could sell two jackets in a month, I'm eking by. And that's what kept him alive during COVID. He just appealed to the higher end and he said, I'm going against the grain. And he's a success now. I mean, he's right in downtown Brunswick.
Right. And that was genius, the advice that Sir Richard got.
Yes.
That just gave me a phenomenal idea. So thank you for that, Eric. I talked to Will after this right away.
I mean, we've always been told serve the masses and live with the classes, which is true to an extent. You know, if you sell toilet paper, everyone needs toilet paper and, you know, I guess you can make your money that way. But there's other options.
Well, the other thing that I thought about when I was thinking about, I had nowhere to go as a business person in Trenton. Right. Number one, I figure there's got to be similar situated business people to come to Trenton and go, where can I get a nice burger and a steak? And after there's a business meeting, where can I have, like, the lawyers, we would huddle up in like areas of the court during lunch to talk about the case. Mm-hmm. And it was like your adversary would be in the same little lunchroom. Right. And it was like, these are like built in like 1900. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that I realized was that from the normal restaurant industry, your chefs have to work Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights. They work till 2 o'clock in the morning. That subculture of the food industry is a very trying and stressful industry. These people can't see their kids. They can't watch, like, you know, your chef, you're working till 2 o'clock in the morning on Friday and Saturday. When are you seeing your kids? You're like, you got to sleep, right? These are the times when most people are actually relaxing with their families, right? Right. Uh-huh. So I thought, geez, you know, I could probably get a chef who's dying to probably have a normal life. Mm-hmm. And where is clearly Trenton never having a lot of foot traffic during the weekends, right? Mm-hmm. So you have an inflated population of foot traffic and car traffic in Trenton Monday through Friday. But Saturday and Sunday, there's no even reason for us to be open. Mm-hmm. So I could get non-traditional waiters and waitresses that are probably not even open on Mondays because most restaurants aren't open on Mondays. They could supplement their income by working on our Mondays, right? These and all the chefs that sit there and say, geez, I can't even believe that I can never see my kids on the weekends when they're finally free from school. So to me, it was like the opposite. But the only way that it would work is if we had support from the members to actually pay some sort of membership due.
Okay.
That was the reason why we have a somewhat, I would say, nominal, and it depends on who you are, in terms of membership fees.
Right. So there is a membership then. So let's answer that question.
Hang on a second.
Okay, sorry.
We're going to take a break.
Okay.
As soon as we come back from the break, we will discuss membership information. Podcastia, are you listening to the election stuff we're doing? I hope so, because it's outrageously good.
And you need to get the information. Don't just vote for someone because they gave you a hot dog.
If someone gave you a hot dog, that doesn't mean they're good for accountancy.
That's like might be a good friend, or they might be someone whose house you want to go to for a barbecue, but maybe not to run the city.
And here's something else I've learned myself personally.
Yes.
If they are telling you all the stuff they're going to do, like they're going to be tough on crime, they're going to handle education, they're going after this, that has nothing to do with what council does.
Yes, that's not the job of city council, so they don't have the power to even do that.
So, Podcastia, let yourself be taught. Learn the facts. I mean, I could draw funny pictures of people and that'll get your attention, I hope. But the reason for those drawings and stuff is to get you to look into the information you need to be looking into. To cast an educated vote, right?
Be educated.
And Annette has been hitting it out of the park, too.
Yes, she's wonderful.
As much as she bugs the crap out of me.
She
I do
does
love her.
Not.
She's not running for office.
No.
She's not even walking for office.
No.
But she wants to be here on this show
right.
to help us along because we don't know anything about
it. She has a lot of experience and a lot of knowledge.
Right. Okay, we're going to go back to Eric Poe, who's in the studio, to talk about membership prices and how the membership works for the Lobby Club.
All right, put all the rumors to
okay, so...
well, maybe not. Maybe they're not rumors. Maybe okay. prices are going up.
When we invested over $1.5 million on redoing Sedimo, we realized that the second floor, historically, since the building has been created, was always zoned as only storage. And one of the things with the new tax laws are that country clubs and private social clubs are not tax deductible. Mm-hmm. Okay? So what I thought about as a business person again is that the second floor should be converted into a virtual conference center mm-hmm. so that lawyers who come and do work here in Trenton can have meetings either at lunch or even after the day is over at court, meet with their clients, talk about the day, talk about the settlement, talk about who testified, etc. And that membership for business, allowing them to have private conference rooms and hold meetings, is a separate company. It's called the Apex Conference Center.
Okay.
Gotcha. That is where a lot of people probably get the rumors of the initiation. For a large company, let's say you're Epstein Becker Law Firm with 150 attorneys that are all charging, you know, $900 to $1,000 an hour, whatever they're charging, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're coming to Trenton with their clients. They're passing on the cost for their meals, et cetera. Mm-hmm. What do they want better than to be able to have a conference with their clients in Trenton while their case is going on? So basically, the barometer that should be used is $75 a month. Mm-hmm. So for 10 members of your law firm per month, it would be $750 for the second floor Apex Club,
mm-hmm. right?
Which also would give you access to the Lobby Club. The Lobby Club is the first floor. That is like a high-end steakhouse, as you guys seen. It's mm-hmm. it's more of like what you would see in New York City or Philadelphia, maybe at Barclays Prime or something. That was what I was trying to emulate is Barclays Prime in Philadelphia atmosphere.
Okay.
That is a person that's in the government, whether you're a staffer, is $500 to join, mm-hmm. and then it's $50 a month. So the lowest price, $500 and $50 a month to join. The highest price, you have 10 employees of your company who can be members at the conference center on the second floor and members at the Lobby Club, and it's $750 a month.
Okay.
And it's a $10,000 one-time initiation for a big company. Yep. For small companies with less than 5 employees that are going to be members that come with it, it's $5,000 to join and then $500 a month. It depends on how large. We sort of have different size membership options depending on the type of company you have.
Mm-hmm.
But if you just want to go to the Lobby Club, $50 a month is all you need to worry about if you're a state employee. And if you're a non-state employee, it's $75 a month.
Okay.
So two questions. Number one, is it lawyers only in the Apex Club?
No.
Oh, so anybody could use it. Does it have to be booked?
Right. So like Capital Health, for example, they're a member of the second floor Apex Club. So they'll come and have like meetings for people, et cetera, because they have their Fold hospital. They're also in Hopewell.
Right.
So they're in Trenton all the time. Mm-hmm. Actually, in fact, because of COVID, none of the courts were open. This is what has thrown a monkey wrench into us. We expected a lot more lawyers, like, you know, you got Epstein Becker, you got Stark & Stark, you've got, you know, Pelletier, you have Wendell Marks, you have all these big firms in Princeton that are coming to Trenton every day and literally charging whatever they have for meals to their clients. And I'm saying these guys should be the number one people having here. The problem is that because of COVID, half these courts haven't opened. So they have all these virtual motions, so it hasn't been a necessity yet. But now that the pandemic has, you know, subsided, the interest in the law firms are now coming back.
Right.
That's good.
Okay. Well, the second question is then, is it almost like a glorified co-working space?
Yes.
Okay.
It is a co-working space.
So upstairs.
We got blackboards upstairs, private rooms, a room that has like 12 people considered a boardroom and has whiteboards and audio video so you can get presentations or for fundraisers. And that's the other thing. We can have private fundraisers. And I think 60% of all of our events are political fundraisers.
Oh, okay.
How many people can use it at a time?
Upstairs, we can hold up to 80 people at a time.
Really?
So, yeah.
80?
In the
80
offices
people,
or
crazy.
In the whole space?
In the whole space. So we have two large conference rooms that hold 14 people in each conference room. We have two small conference rooms holding like 4 to 6 six people. Okay. And we have a large space that just allows, you know, another 50 people.
We know the large space very well.
We were recently up there just to look at the space that, not the main space when you first walk in upstairs, but then you go down a little step and there's like couches in there.
Yes, yes.
Are you giving that a name? Or?
Yeah, we're calling that the presidential lounge.
Ooh.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. Originally, we were just thinking that would be like a VIP private lounge, but until we actually get, you know, the membership going, we haven't opened it up yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We don't have a need yet.
That room. It's so cozy and clubby and private. I want to hang out there.
So when does the stripper pole get put up? When is that being added?
Yeah.
So let's put that rumor to bed.
Yeah.
No pun intended.
Well, now why? I guess because it's a black building, black windows. It looks very elitist, you know, which I love.
I like that you can't see in. And when you're inside, it always looks like it's a snowy day outside.
Yeah. You walk out and the sun's in your eyes. Right? It's like, oh, I got the rest of the day.
Like you're in there and you're like, oh my God, what time is it? Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a casino.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
We were, we're working on the backyard. There's a small patio area that we're going to open up for heat lamps, some vine, like a close-in patio that allow people to smoke some cigars.
The backyard. Yes. Where? I don't even know where the backyard is.
Behind the building.
I don't even know it was a backyard.
Yeah, it's not that big. It'd probably hold like 25 people, but to be able to like smoke cigars in the back area outside during like the fall right now, for example.
Oh, it would be wonderful.
Can we make the presidential suite a cigar thing? Can you put like a little air filtration up there?
The anti-smoking lobby got so strong that basically you can't have a smoking lounge area, period, unless something like 75%. You have to be a tobacco sales company, sell retail sales, and you have to have at least 75%, I think is the number, of your total income for the entity to be on tobacco sales in order to have...
This is for New Jersey?
Yeah, this is
for New Jersey. Come on, New Jersey. Phil, come on, dude. What kind of laws are those? That's insane.
Well, because everyone, you know, tobacco. So they went to completely bonkers.
So it's just easy to just go outside.
I think that you should be able to, like, to me, the law should allow for, like, if you have exhaust fans, for example, on ceiling, and you have a certain space and that it's private and it's closed off, like that presidential area. That was what we were originally trying to do, and had exhaust fans in the ceilings and stuff like that with the hopes of that.
Mm-hmm. Do you smoke cigars?
Occasionally.
Okay.
I'm not like one of those aficionados. I have a buddy of mine who paid like $500 for a cigar. I'm like, who pays $500 for something that lasts like an hour?
Well, that you're literally going to burn.
Well, the most I've ever spent was $35 for a cigar.
Right.
And it was worth every penny.
Would you pay $500 though?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm not an idiot.
I would put the kibosh on that one.
No offense to your friend. I'm just saying. No. You know.
Oh, that's a wonderful idea to have a cigar place outside. Maybe you could do bourbon tastings.
So we have on order.
The reason she goes with this?
We have a large locker humidor that's on order. So when the corporate membership expands beyond the 10 corporate members we have now, our goal is to have 25.
Okay.
You'll be able to have, with your membership, a locker in the humidor so that you'll be able to go in there, go in the backyard, smoke a cigar. And that's, you know, one of the little perks. If you've ever been to the Havana Club in New York City, that's what we also model ourselves. It's a private club in a office building on like the 70th floor overlooking all of Manhattan.
Man.
Cool.
And they have a steakhouse there. I saw Reverend Sharpton up there. It's like, basically it's a huge cigar humidor. Like you walk-in humidor, and people like Tom Brady and, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio and everybody have a locker. And it's like, just to walk in the humidor and see the celebrity names of all their lockers is pretty cool. I saw Ivanka Trump once there. Like,
hey, Reggie, Smokehouse, you hear that? Smoking your Dermo 90s.
We've been to the Ashton Club, right?
Oh,
in Philly.
Yeah, yeah. Just love
they got Holtz on the bottom, selling retail in there.
Yeah, so we always used to go to, that was one of his birthday destinations. Like we'd say, we'd go there first, we'd have a cocktail, we'd sit and have a cigar upstairs.
Usually it's just an Ashton, but it was still good.
That upstairs room reminds me a little bit of the Ashton upstairs when you're overlooking the street and those big windows there, and you have the couches up there. It's like, it always reminds me of that.
Yeah. The other great part is that because we're not open on Monday, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. Like if you ever want to have like a private event, like they had a surprise birthday party for one of the NBA players at our place.
And nice.
It was one of the Knicks.
Really?
So yeah, it was crazy. Like one of the Knicks' brother's best friends is a member at the lobby club, and was like, we got to surprise this guy. So I don't want to give the name, but they had a surprise birthday party at the lobby club on a Saturday night. And just, you know, who really frequents around here during that. But if you wanted to smoke cigars, probably then, I guess no one would really know. Right. I don't want the fire department to know, but the fire department's actually one of our members too. Like one of the, of our members of the lobby.
I don't think the fire department listens to this show. So I don't think you're right. No.
Well, we also could definitely give a plug to having a private event.
Yes.
Because our VIP party was held at the lobby club after Podstock, and it was, people didn't want to leave.
They had by Jim Beam. Thank you.
And thank you, Jim Beam, for sponsoring that. And Tara did a great job putting that all together.
Yeah.
People
amazing.
Did not want to leave. We were having such a nice time. The service was spectacular.
Insane.
The drinks were fantastic.
Stephanie was out of control.
Everybody was just enjoying it, just having a blast.
Jay was running around with the hors d'oeuvres. You got quite the team there, bro. You really do.
You have a great staff.
I always say you can have the right people in the wrong roles and it'll be a train wreck. You have the right people in exactly the right roles. Mm-hmm. We knew Tara from years ago. So when I found out she was the GM, I'm like, oh my God, Tara. I'm not going to give her a last name. Don't worry, Tara. Relax. Just calm down. I told you, I noticed you didn't show up today, Tara.
was so nervous.
You're still
about
coming
me.
On the show. I don't care. Just
was
because
she
Eric's
invited?
Here today.
She was invited.
She knows damn well what she's doing.
We have invited her and Jay on. And Jay was like, yeah, y'all come. And Tara's like, is that?
I totally threw her under the bus that day, right in front of her. I'm like, I've told Tara to come on the show, and she doesn't like let me know anything. And then Jay too. The heck with Jay too.
But anyway, we love everything about the lobby club.
She's a great, great brand ambassador. And you know, I think one of the things that anybody who goes to restaurants outside, like my Mendoza line for bartenders, you got to be able to make a martini. And I still don't understand why you can go to a restaurant and it could be expensive and you can get the worst martini. I don't understand.
I know.
How hard is martini? It's like two ingredients with
that,
ice.
Right?
I don't understand it.
I don't know.
Do you understand it? I don't understand.
Here's the thing. It's about giving a damn. I really do believe it's about a passion.
Listen, I love going to a lot of the Latina restaurants around town, but if you ask for a martini, you could get anything. I remember we were out with Judy. It came with a rim of salt, like a margarita, but in the glass was a martini.
Well, it was close.
I've had it where it's
margarita
sweet.
Martini.
I don't know what was in it, and there was a cherry in it. I'm like,
so to become a bartender at the lobby club, you're required to produce on the spot martinis, and if you can't do them for the owners or Terror Jay that pass the mustard, then you're not allowed to be the bartender.
Nice.
Okay, so let me tell you, test.
I'll tell you one thing about Stephanie, although I do not want her on the show. I told her one time, you weren't even there yet. I was there with Jonathan Levine from a couple of episodes ago. And I said, my wife wants a martini, a Kettle One martini, straight up with three olives and a little dirty. Not only did she do that, she stuffs the olives with blue cheese by hand.
Let me tell you something.
Oh my God.
That's another little pet peeve of mine. Look, bottom line, like, you know, even if you're in a little dingy bar, how much does it cost to get a jar of olives with a pimento in it? I have seen some wrinkly little things that are empty. Come on.
Yeah.
Go to Costco and get a giant jar of olives.
Yeah, do they even go bad?
They don't.
I mean, really.
We've had
a jar of Spanish olives for, I think 16 years.
No, we had capers.
Capers for 16 years. Sorry. Okay, we have capers.
I kept eating them. He's like, don't you think those are old?
Are these good anymore?
They're fine.
Well, now we're starting actually to have those theme nights too. So like we have Wine and Whiskey Wednesday. You know that new fancy thing where you actually smoke the whiskey glass?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. I showed you that.
So we have that now.
Yeah.
Happening.
I love
so
those.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. This is exciting.
You posted something and you had a picture of what looked like an old fashioned and a martini. And I commented like, oh, my two favorite drinks.
Yes.
And then I said in one of my favorite places, and somebody responded to that. In summer, I'm doing martinis. And once the weather gets cooler, I do Manhattans or old fashioned.
And we'll take any suggestion. You want something on the menu. My whole idea was, listen, we don't need to have like one of those New Jersey diner menus where I don't even know why some of these diners even have menus. Just have it. They say, we'll make anything you want. Mm-hmm. How can you make Ma Pao tofu and then you're also making, you know, lasagna?
Yeah, what are you doing good?
What chef exists that can deliver both of those items in your diner.
Yeah. And why is he in your diner?
Right.
Why, we have blackmail photos of him? I mean,
it's unbelievable. So I'm like, it takes you like 6.5 years. She's like studying for the SATs to take an order on one of these diners. So our idea is you have a limited menu, but you produce great results.
Right.
Like,
right.
I'd rather have somebody deliver me a great cheeseburger every time out than have 12 other items that are going to go bad and you can't deliver half of them. And
you're absolutely right. Yeah. Why isn't that guy working for like Bobby Flay or Mario Batali or something? Absolutely. Speaking of Poe, there you go. I got to say, I am not a vodka guy in the least. I'm a gin and tonic guy. But I tasted her martini. I couldn't believe how smooth that she's doing something with that blue cheese or something's going on because I've never tasted vodka that good. And I know it's Kettle One. I get it. But there was something about that martini. I'm like, I could actually drink this.
It's a balance. Yeah. It's a balance of what you're putting in there. Like, you know, and again, it's to taste too. Because some people don't like it dirty. Some people like it really dirty.
Whatever, however you had it, I think it was a little dirty.
Yeah.
That I can drink.
Yeah. I like Kettle One because I find it smooth. People drink Tito's. I'm like, oh my God, that's like rock gut. I can't. God. Please don't serve me.
That's because you don't have Tito's, like, do you?
We do, but I think it's because
people like it.
People have gluten allergies too. And it's potato
vodka.
What it
is?
That's what it is.
That's what it is.
Tito's has no gluten in it.
Gotcha. All right.
And Kettle One does.
You really think that's a thing?
It's harsh.
I think it is. My fiance has an allergy to Kettle One.
Oh, okay. It is a thing. And I think it's not so much the gluten as the processing that goes on to things that, because people don't have these allergies in Europe. It's not processed. And it's not pesticides.
Yeah. So what apparently the legend is that when half of America smoked cigarettes, all the tobacco farms down the South, they had to change them when everyone stopped smoking. So they used to spray DEET on all the tobacco farms. And so when they now change those farms into what we now grow on GMO, corn and whatever we're doing, the pesticides in the soil are still there. So that's why we're so allergic in the United States to all the foods and the gluten because it's from that.
Right.
Interesting.
Right. Mm. But anyway, off on that topic.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going into plugs.
Oh, wow. Are they there? All right. Let me ask my question.
I ask you a question. And then I'm going into plugs.
I'm afraid to ask you this because I've seen you get a little.
No. Don't be afraid of him.
I'm not. He's not afraid
of him. That's a friggin' lawyer. You know what I like, by the way? Let me just interrupt for
I'm
one
hot,
second.
Actually.
He starts the show off with, you know, going to court for 25 years. I'm like, why the hell is he going to court? Oh, he didn't mention he's a lawyer. That's why he goes to court. I like that he didn't mention that
part.
He
wasn't getting sued every week.
Yeah, he's getting sued every 10 minutes.
Well, we're suing people.
Or you're suing people. But because you're a lawyer, though. But that's basically, you're a lawyer by trade. And you own
part-time lawyer by trade. I'm the CEO and manage Cure Auto Insurance. So that's based in Princeton. We have like
you grew up in Princeton.
I grew up in Massachusetts and then moved to Princeton
because
it's a boring story.
Can my you tell stepfather. By that accent?
I'm going to hear it.
My stepfather was insurance commissioner under Brendan Byrne for 8 years. He's the last two-time insurance
As in Brendan Byrne Arena?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm 70. Actually, that's why you see the oil painting when you walk in and there's a bust of a head. That's from Brendan Byrne's second wife. She'd given it to us and donated it. And that's why we named one of our conference rooms the Brendan Byrne conference room. The other one is the Tom Keene conference room. So we wanted to put some New Jersey politics in there.
Cool. Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Cool.
Yes. I like also on one TV you have Fox News and the other.
Yeah,
you
I'm like, what are you, Switzerland in there? What?
They are. They're like,
they got the Democrat sign. They got the Republican sign.
That's smart. That's smart.
Lobby Club, Wine and Whiskey Wednesdays, designed for legislators, lobbyists, and business professionals who work in or around Trenton. The Lobby Club welcomes you to Wine and Whiskey Wednesdays. So Wednesday, October 12th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., whiskey and wine served by the glass. There are specials. There are light bites being served. Members and non-members are welcome. Lobby Club, Wine and Whiskey Wednesdays, Wednesday, October 12th, 5 to 8. Don't miss it.
When you imagine Trenton and you're thinking about specifically downtown, because that's where your business is, what would be your dream Trenton? What would that look like?
My dream Trenton is that we start with I actually wanted to make a white paper on this and just publish it. But like, I feel like you have to always start with a very small geographic region and expand out. To me, downtown Trenton, that you already have the Lobby Club, you have a Starbucks. And I think Starbucks carries a lot of weight. When Starbucks came into Trenton, it's like it legitimized the safety and dispelled these notions of no safety in Trenton. You can't possibly be there. Well, how can there be a Starbucks in Trenton if everybody's just getting shot and thrown in a river?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
so, but I think that area and the real estate is so affordable that mm-hmm. people really should be investing into downtown first. Mm-hmm. And my dream, Trenton, would be that you have, because I know the MoMA brothers bought a property in downtown Trenton. I haven't seen them open it yet, but clearly if you do the economics, people don't understand, like, liquor licenses in West Windsor cost you $3 million, $4 million, whatever, ridiculous, because it's based on the population. You can only get a certain amount of liquor licenses. Then it's an open bidding auction. So that's why you see like Houlihan's, or you see like these multi-billion dollar chains can afford to create these restaurants, but you don't have mom and pop restaurants in West Windsor because that serve liquor, because you can't spend $4 million as a mom and pop shop.
Right.
But in Trenton, liquor licenses are very cheap. And mm-hmm. the reason why is because you don't have enough bars and restaurants in Trenton. Mm-hmm. So if you're a restaurateur, mm-hmm. it's very easy for you to economically justify right. based on foot traffic and based on the liquor license mm-hmm. and the cost of the real estate to start a restaurant in Trenton. Mm-hmm. So from my perspective, it's easy. That's two streets. You're talking about a block away from the state house, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're talking about the legislature. You're talking about people coming from North Jersey that might be living in Alpine who have to come down here and testify. Walk a block and a half and come to downtown Trenton. Mm-hmm. Go to those restaurants. Have it well lit. We have like a shuttle bus actually for all the people that go to court during lunch hour so that we can pick up all their lawyers and all their clients and come back and eat within an hour. Right. From my perspective, Trenton has everything you need except for visibility and the idea of safety. I would personally probably change or label the name of where we are in downtown Trenton. Maybe call it like the Cap City area or the restaurant district. Or remember how Chambersburg was like everyone would go, oh, you can eat at Chambersburg. That's safe. That's great in Trenton. Mm-hmm. But like, we don't have like differentiators of Trenton in my mind. Come up with a new brand. Like, and I think that the state needs to dedicate more visibility to this. They really do.
Right.
I mean, it's just, to me, I love that they've knocked down some new state buildings and they're beautiful, but I feel like there needs to be more. Like, I went to the Trenton police station to get interviewed for the liquor license, which are all based on like prohibition laws. And the like, seriously, I'm not even joking. God. This guy had like a 65 page file on me and my partner. And I looked at him, the guy was like 27 years old. And I'm like, do you even know what you're looking at? He goes, I have no idea what I'm looking at. Literally, that's wow. Okay. But the interesting part about it was he's like reviewing me to make sure that I'm not in the mafia, right? Okay.
Oh my God.
In the meantime,
well, the name like Poe, you can never be sure.
But the interesting part is you're sitting in a Trenton train station and they have desks to sit at and couches. These couches look like you couldn't get them at a garage sale. If they were put out on the side of a street and somebody said, free, take it, you'd be like, I don't even know if I'd take that sofa for the Trenton police station. I left that place and I said, first off, to the guy, I go, look, you're probably 32 years old. When's the last time they had new furniture in the Trenton police station? He's like, I've been here for 10 years. I've never seen one single piece of furniture come in here. I said, I can't believe that we're talking about the state capitol's police station.
Right.
Well, we're worried about crime. And I want to leave there with a bake sale that I need to start for the next week just to get them new desks and new sofas. Like, mm-hmm. there's something wrong with our state if the state's capital mm-hmm. has a police station that doesn't have a sofa that you're not afraid to sit on.
Right.
Like, that scares me. And it makes me,
him, he's gonna fire
it
up.
Makes me angry. It makes me angry. Like,
know.
Let's freaking at least make the state capitol
right.
somewhat tolerably beautiful.
Right.
Like, please.
Right. I totally agree with you. This is the bandwagon I was on about the bridge. It's a historic bridge. Like, Washington came through there. And the DOT is like, oh no, we'll put up some barriers and that's it. And there's a plan that wouldn't cost them that much.
You're
like John
about this,
Hatch.
This archway thing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
John Hatch has it all. He says, this is, it's not that much. It's cost effective. At least it would look beautiful. It's commemorating history in right. Trenton. Right. Yeah. So I get your fervor there. And that's when we met at the lobby club. You were hot about something.
Well, I feel like we should have, you know, ideally, for example, in the state of Michigan, they have term limits for their legislators. Mm-hmm. They are required to have full-time jobs. In our state, people don't recognize that there are other states that are different, but in our state, we have no term limits and you can have a dual occupation. So half of our legislature could be in the legislature for 60 years. So, mm-hmm. you know, when you're trying to change the landscape like Trenton, you have to get people that may have always or will always perceive that Trenton will be, you know, a dumpster. Like, you know, mm-hmm. and so if you've been in the legislature for 30 years, maybe you just say, you know what, look, we don't need to fix it this term, you know?
Right, exactly. Right? It's like you need someone blood. With a fresh thought.
Yeah.
Right. Right. Yeah. I know. Right, exactly. Yes. And then do you hear that, people out there, when you vote, at least vote with a fresh thought yeah. in mind.
All 38,000 of you Trentonians that I know listen to the show.
Yes.
Vote with an educated mind, please.
Yes. Yes.
Eric, would you like to hang around for a little something we call plugs?
Sure.
Trenton Waves Plugs. Hey, Podcastia, let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Did I say that right? Trenton Waves, TrentonWaves.com. Visit us on all social media platforms, including but not limited to Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, YouTube, and TikTok. Did I get to them all? Did I repeat one of them?
I think that's it. I don't know if there's any more.
I don't know. I don't even care anymore. I really don't. Whatever. Just find us. Just type in Trenton Waves, you'll find us. Type in New Pod City, you'll find us.
Yeah.
I just keep talking about it. I know it's annoying, but I really don't care.
What are you talking about?
Just to tune into these candidate episodes.
The elections are coming up in November. November 8th.
And it's we have a very, very stringent and strict formatted show for those candidate episodes. Mm-hmm. Unlike these
right, it's very
do.
Like we really don't say much. We leave it mostly to
yeah.
Annette and the candidate to speak because it's their right. platform. We
that's
want
probably
them.
Why
to,
it's so good,
right? Maybe that. All right. Anything else to plug?
Well, I mean, that's just hot on my head right now.
First Fridays, of course, coming up. Oh, right. Passage Theater in conjunction with Candlelight Lounge
right.
is having a blues night okay. on Saturday.
In relation to that, real yes. quick. Let me just say this so that everybody knows we're all on the same page here, people. If you want to find out what the Passage Theater is doing.
Yes.
Oh, why are they over at the Candlelight Lounge? Why are they doing? Here's what you do. They have a podcast on the New Pod City Podcast Network. It's called The Rite of Passage. Okay. Right. And here's how you find it. Go to newpodcity.com. Click on where it says arts in categories. And then you'll see the Rite of Passage. If you click that, mm-hmm. their latest episode talks about what they're doing
yes.
with Candlelight Lounge.
Right.
They explain it.
It's well, I'm just bringing it up in plugs. Yeah. So, okay. yeah, so check that out. If you go to the Passage Theater, also on Instagram or Facebook, you can find out more information.
Candlelight is like a portal into another dimension place when you walk in there. Eric, where can people find you? Where can people see you? Where can people know you? Where can people go online to visit all things and see all things? Eric Poe and or the Lobby Club.
Well, if you go to the Trenton Lobby .com or I believe it's the lobbyclubnj.com is our website.
I love that he doesn't know his website. What an owner.
Google the Lobby Club.
There you go.
Okay.
Google the Lobby Club.
Okay. Yes. Google the Lobby Club and then you can find the website through there. That's what I just did.
But just so you know, it's the lobbyclubnj.com.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, Eric. We're ready to go. I hope you had a good time.
I had a great time.
All right. Well,
thank you so much
for what you guys do for Trenton.
Oh, well, thank you, bro.
Thank you for the Lobby Club and for Stephanie and Tara and Jay. And you guys, Podcastia, this has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves.
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.
Why
are you taking your headphones off?
I just realized I have a 1 o'clock call.
You want to do the call real quick?
I'll call them back.
Okay. Oh, okay.